Welcome to Irish Illustrated's Tracking the Trail. I'm Drew Mentock, joined by Irish Illustrated's Senior Recruiting Analyst, Eric Thomas, and 24/7 Sports and CBS Sports National Recruiting Analyst, Tom Loy. Notre Dame just hosted a number of blue chip visitors for the Blue Gold game last weekend, which we'll discuss in this episode. But first, we want to quickly talk about two recent safety commits, Zayden Gamble and John Gay, who pledged shortly after Khalil Terry's decommitment from the class of 2027. Eric, what are your thoughts on Notre Dame's two newest secondary prospects?
The Notre Dame secondary just keeps rolling, man. They're recruiting at a high level. And I'll start with Gay. He's not even necessarily like a true safety prospect. He could very well end up at nickel and primarily start there. So there's some flexibility in his profile. He's a guy who, when you watch him, he's so quick in transition. Like if he has to flip his hips and get around, even playing, you know, down near the line of scrimmage and do like a trail technique up the field, he's excellent at that. He's a physical football player. And despite the fact that he's a three-star, you know, he's a guy who I think compares favorably to Nick Reddish last class. Not necessarily the height, you know, Reddish is a little bit of a shorter player, but in the ability to kind of play up near the front seven, up near the line of scrimmage and impact the game that way, and the ability that he can, you know, cover man and zone and come downhill and deliver a hit, like he's just versatile that way. Gamble is more of your, you know, excellent true safety prospect, right? He can do either, you know, your downhill box safety stuff. He can hang out in zone coverage. In camp settings, we see him do more man than we do on the film. And in the camp settings, like when Tom and I saw him down in Miami, he looked fantastic. So he looks really comfortable doing that stuff. In the camp settings, too, there are times where he rotates down and plays linebacker. So obviously that's a little bit different version of read-react when you're playing man, and he looked really comfortable there. So two excellent defensive back prospects. And obviously, Tom, you know, Gamble is very close friends with another top Notre Dame target as well. So makes it a good one to have that feather in their cap going into the official visit season.
Yeah, first of all, just love Zayden Gamble. We obviously handled his commitment on the CBS Sports College Football YouTube channel. So I was fired up to get that one. That was a big win for us. And I know everybody was kind of trying to get that one. But the kid, he is extremely impressive on and off the field. He's a favorite of mine and ours at 24/7 Sports. Obviously, we love him as a player, but even more as a young man. He's just great to deal with. Great. He's going to be great locker room guy, a potential captain for the Notre Dame defense. I mean, there's just so much to like about this kid. And you know, really, like everybody wanted him. Miami's pushing for him, Ohio State, Florida, and many others. And just a lot to like about his game. And I think he was really impressive. I saw him a few weeks ago at the OT7 regional event in Dallas. And it was, you know, it's funny, just you see this kid walking around in like a robe. He's got that kind of vibe about him where he's just like super laid back, kind of jokey, fun. And then when the lights come on and he's on the field, he becomes this dog, an elite guy, a confident kid. So I really like the get both with Zayden Gamble and John Gay. But like you said, Eric, and you kind of teased there, Zayden Gamble is best friends and teammates with Julius Jones, the legacy wide receiver target, who, you know, look, we've been going back and forth on that one for a while. Early on, we definitely felt great about Notre Dame. Then he visited Oregon and really fell in love with the Ducks. And at this point in this process, with a commitment lined up for June, I think Notre Dame's in the driver's seat. And I expect him and Gamble to be teammates, roommates, and all of the above in South Bend. So feeling really good. Look, they weren't making decisions based on each other, but I think that it never hurts when you have close friends, teammates, guys that have known each other for a very long time. They're going to get comfortable playing with each other on both sides of the ball. They compete with each other. So I like Notre Dame to eventually land both their signatures.
Well, Notre Dame, it looks like they're in a good spot to prevent one of their top targets in Julius Jones Jr. from slipping away. There's another guy, Jackson Dollar, who committed elsewhere on Thursday. I just wonder if you guys could talk a little bit about, I know that's a guy Notre Dame has been high on for a while. They seem to be doing well with, but what kind of went wrong from Notre Dame's perspective in that recruitment?
I mean, if you want me to take this one, I mean, this was the one that look early on, and Eric can attest to this one looked like it was going to go Notre Dame's way. He made it very clear that Notre Dame was the leader for a very long time. He was public about it, and he praised the Fighting Irish. He had a great relationship with Mike Denbrock. And as things kind of move forward, you started to realize like, oh, he's talking about Georgia the same way he talks about Notre Dame. And you could tell, although Miami and Texas and a few others were all in the mix, you knew it was kind of a two-team race down the stretch. And look, I get it. It's tight end you at Notre Dame, and they do a great job, but this is a blow. Like, I'm sure they can replace him and they'll be fine. They'll eventually find talented players both at the high school level and the portal, but this is a blow. I mean, our director of scouting, Andrew Ivins, absolutely loves this guy. He's 32nd in the country right now, right in our 5-star range. And he's a true do-it-all yak kind of guy that can make explosive plays. He can block at a high level. So yeah, it's a blow. Notre Dame will recover. They will continue to recruit him, but just Georgia, what they've done with Brock Bowers and a few other guys, like they're doing a great job with the tight end position as well. So you can't really knock it, but it's a big win for the Bulldogs and again, a blow for the Irish.
Yeah, he's a remarkably talented player. I mean, when you think about the tight ends available who can be true vertical threats in this class, it's Jackson Dollar and it's Seneca Driver, and the Irish saw both of them go elsewhere. So it's a difficult one to work around in terms of the talent gap between those guys and maybe some of the other players available. But this recruitment really reminds me a lot of like the Derek Meadows and the Carnell Tate recruitments, where Notre Dame at certain points seemed like they were doing really well and they threw everything but the kitchen sink at those guys. But it eventually hit a point where it was like, okay, he still hasn't committed. And it just kind of kept going and just kept going. And at some point, it felt like they just ran out of steam right in front of the finish line to actually punch it in. So it's a difficult one. He was definitely close to committing to Notre Dame on several occasions, as Tom mentioned. It's a tough one to really understand in the immediate aftermath. Like, oh, what went wrong? As much as it is, I think Georgia just did a really good job. And Notre Dame left the door open for long enough that Georgia came in and slammed it shut.
Yeah, I think mentioning Lloyd Brock Bowers, like this is a program that does its pretty good reputation with tight ends now. But yeah, you guys are definitely right. This is a tough loss. I guess that's more positive news. I know there's been a lot of angst amongst the fan base about quarterback recruiting. Notre Dame's starting to really make progress. They're making offers in the class of 2028, and I believe in 2029 as well. So, Eric, where are they kind of with the quarterback board in the next three classes?
Yeah, so obviously 2027 had a little bit of a hole created when Teddy Girard reclassified into the 2026 class. Notre Dame ultimately moved to offer three quarterbacks. Two of them have since committed elsewhere. So all eyes are on Champ Mons, Wonderful Mons the fourth, his full name, from down in Vero Beach. He actually squared off against Noah Grubbs and company in the state title game last year. Mons is an interesting one. He's a reclass himself, former 2028 prospect. Down to Florida State, Ohio State, Notre Dame. Most of the smoke was really on those other competitors, particularly the Seminoles, kind of coming into this last Notre Dame visit. But then, I mean, it wasn't even just one side. It's not like Notre Dame blew him away. He blew Notre Dame away as well. They loved his football IQ. They loved the character. They thought that, the family fit was just a good fit with the dynamic groups that they have at Notre Dame. And ultimately, both sides realized, I think, that this is a good match, and the Irish pursued very quickly at that point. So, that commitment's going to be Friday afternoon on the Pat McAfee show. Notre Dame is sort of the betting odds favorite here among the three hats on the table. And then, kind of looking at the next couple of classes, Notre Dame offered two 2028 quarterbacks. That's Neiman Lawrence, who I know is Tom's guy, just one of the absolute most talented guys in the country. And then Kingston Prayer out of Benjamin Russell in Alabama. But really the interesting, not to skip over those, but just the more interesting one here. 2 years in a row, Notre Dame took a long time to evaluate those quarterbacks before they made an offer. They wanted to, send out very few offers, committable offers, and make sure that they knew, hey, these are our top guys. We're not going to expand the board until they're off the board. They didn't do that in 2029. They offered their first 2029 quarterback yesterday. I mean, this kid's still a freshman in high school, CJ Cypher out of Carrollton, Georgia, and he has a Notre Dame offer as well as like 20 odd others. So it's an exciting time to kind of track the quarterback recruiting because it's about as much motion as we've gotten in, I don't know, 2 years.
Yeah, just to kind of like put a bow on everything, I think once the decision was made to cancel the visit with Peter Bork, it was the writing was on the wall that Wonderful Mons was likely bound for Notre Dame. So we'll see what happens there. But yeah, I mean, it's hard to argue with everything we've heard behind the scenes. Like the Irish are in a really good spot there. And then with Neiman Lawrence, look, man, I sat down, had a great conversation with him recently in Dallas at the OT7 regional there. And Texas A&M, Miami, Michigan, Texas, they're all very much threats to land him. But this kid really is excited about Notre Dame, and he sees potential to be the next man up competing with Some of the guys in that room after, you know, with life after CJ Carr, which I don't think anybody likes talking about. But I do believe that they are in a good spot there with Neiman Lawrence. And not saying he's coming to Notre Dame, but there's surely a realistic threat to land him. I'd probably put smart money again. I mean, just something about Miami has always kind of resonated with him. And I get it, he's an in-state kid, but he really, really likes Texas A&M. So that's one to watch there. Kingston Preier is a guy that I've known for a couple years now, just kind of covering some of his teammates in Alabama and gotten to know him really well. And look, it's a weird situation because like he's ranked really high throughout his process. He was really high early. He dropped a little bit in the latest update, but I was hoping to see more of him this offseason on the 7-on-7 circuit, but he was kind of playing with a pretty good quarterback there with cold hearts. And it's Trey Taylor, who's headed to Nebraska, who might be the best quarterback in the 2027 class. So a lot of that stuff was really, let's let Trey do his thing and build a lead and then give Kingston the occasional rep. So we still haven't fully seen everything that kid is capable of, but man, the upside and potential of Kingston Preier is through the roof. Moving on with 2020, and just to be clear, like I still think Florida is in the driver's seat with Kingston Preier, and it wouldn't shock me if he made an early decision this summer and ended up being with the Gators to follow Davin Davidson in the 2027 class. So Florida recruiting is really hot right now. But in 2029, CJ Cypher, it's my guy. You said it, Eric. I've known him a couple years. He's still a pup, but I've known him. I think he was in the 7th grade when I first kind of came across him. Shout out my guy Tony Ballard down there, one of the best quarterback coaches in America in the state of Georgia. And CJ has, what's been most impressive about him is how he is and how he acts mentally and socially. He's this quiet, reserved kid, but he's starting to slowly come out of his shell. But you will not find a better fit for a Notre Dame quarterback, which makes sense to why they extended that early offer. So good job by Gino Guiduli and Mike Denbrock to make that extend that early offer because, yeah, CJ Cypher is about as elite as you'll find in the 2029 class. But I've said this multiple times. I fully expect him to end up in the 2028 class. I think he's going to be a reclass, and I expect him to be in 2028. So you can add him to the Notre Dame board in 28, which makes sense as to why they extended the early offer. So yes, it looks like they offered a 29, but behind the scenes, he's really a 28. So, but I think Notre Dame's going to make it interesting. He loves Miami. I mean, this kid, like, he comes across like he's a Hurricanes fan. Georgia's going to be in play, Alabama, Notre Dame, and a bunch of others. But right now, I'd probably give the edge to Miami.
And he's a guy I don't believe that we have rankings for 2029 kids, or at least he
Right.
doesn't have one yet. But if you look at his offers, I mean, he has Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State. Like he's well ahead of the game there. And even Lawrence, I know he was on campus again recently, and Notre Dame also had a bunch of other non-quarterback prospects on, in addition to Teddy Girard, I should clarify, last weekend for the Blue Gold game. But there's a few others we want to definitely hit that were on campus last weekend. I know Notre Dame's had a good busy spring. But Eric, who are some guys that you really want to highlight from last weekend that you've had a chance to get updates from?
I think one of the big ones to start things with is David Fullerunsho, the defensive tackle out of Chicago. He was at Notre Dame just, what, 2, 3 weeks ago. I think he was there for the Jersey scrimmage weekend, and then he made a return trip for the actual Blue and Gold game. There had been some talk about him potentially, getting out to Miami. There had been some talks about other visits. So for him to make that return trip for Notre Dame in short order, like I recognize it might be a little bit more convenient location-wise than some of these other trips, but I think there's real intention there. And Notre Dame just continues to be a threat. He's surrounded by Notre Dame people, in his regular everyday life, trains with Notre Dame guys, plays for head coach Tom Zbikowski. He has all this Notre Dame influence around, but then he went and as his profile got bigger, he went and saw some places and developed interests in other schools and kind of felt out those waters. But even as he's gone through that process, we now see after the return trip to Notre Dame and subsequent return trip to Notre Dame that as all of that expansion's happening in his race, he continues to really focus in on the Fighting Irish as one of his top options. As much competition as there is there, that intentionality where I'm sitting right now, that bodes really well for Notre Dame as they round the corner into the summer.
Yeah, if I can kind of quickly touch on a couple guys here. Jalen Adai, I just talked about when you're looking for Notre Dame fits, man, that is one. No question about it. The son of Joseph Adai, we saw him in New Orleans at the opening, and he blew us away, which is why he vaulted up the national recruiting rankings in 2028. So really impressive kid. But kind of going back to 2027, I feel like Notre Dame moved the needle to kind of get back to where they were with Marcus Fakatu. I know sources inside the building there, inside the Goug, as they love when I say that, are feeling pretty good. They feel like they've like, hey, we've gotten it back to like why we were your leader, Charlie Partridge, and those guys are doing a great job there. So I think that they have a really good shot to land him, but it's going to be tough because I mean Oregon and a few others have their teeth sunk in there, and Texas. I mean, look, this is a really good player that's going to command a high dollar amount. But hey, newsflash, Notre Dame will absolutely pay up for the right kid. So that's not going to be a reason he doesn't pick Notre Dame. Jackson Vaughn, that was big news moving from 28 to 27. I feel like that was the thing we were talking about for months that we all knew was going to happen. But so that's a guy that I think Notre Dame's in a great spot for, and I think they're going to land him. So all in all, I mean, I feel like just kind of looking at where things stand coming after that visit, it seems like Notre Dame moved the needle with the right kind of guys, the guys that you're hoping for. They recently had top 100 defensive end or edge rusher Abraham Cisse. I still like the Irish there, and you already mentioned Fularansu. The return trips really grabbed my attention because they were so quick and so they were back to back. And look, before everybody gets excited about this kid, but Olubobola out of Jersey, I don't expect Notre Dame to be. I think they're going to be in play, but I've just from everything I've heard behind the scenes, I just don't see that one working out. There's a lot of things going on there that I feel better about the likes of Texas A&M or Miami getting that one done. So again, successful Blue and Gold weekend. I know people get upset because it's like, oh, why didn't we get land? Why didn't we land 10 commitments? And like Eric, when you used to work at Notre Dame, I'm sure you got text messages all the time, like, oh man, you're terrible at your job. You didn't close anybody. When you fast forward, it's like, well, we landed 50% of the guys that were on campus, but it took a few months. So all in all, really good job by Carter Ahman, Mike Martin, and all those guys behind the scenes. It was a successful weekend for what at least I gathered on the highlights was kind of a boring game.
And I think that's that delayed gratification is a point obviously Notre Dame makes in their everyday messaging. But you look at the recruiting weekend, and it still applies. Like a guy like Braden Parks is there. He's not someone who's rushing to make a decision. He's not someone who at any point is going to allow external factors to pressure him to make his timeline, right? He's like, I'm sticking to my process. I know what my talent is. Notre Dame, Oregon, Miami, a couple others are there. I think it's Notre Dame and Oregon that are kind of at the top. But you look at that, like that's a meaningful trip. And even if they didn't get his commitment, that's a late check-in before official visits where they got him at kind of the last window to get someone on campus before you launch into this next chapter. Like that's a major boon for Notre Dame, even if it doesn't result in a commitment or an announcement. And you look at another guy like linebacker Braden Feaster, the Archbishop Hoban, Ohio linebacker. He's a guy that look, they as they've kind of rebuilt the linebacker board in real time, if we're honest, he's a guy that they've identified and really want to, make a serious run at. These are trips that when you're making an approach like that, you're not going to get that kind of action off of, but it's still a productive trip that put Notre Dame in competition, which going into the trip, they had work to do to be there. So I think when you look at some of the opportunities they've created for themselves, excuse me, that's kind of more the payoff of a weekend like this than the upfront, hey, we got a guy actually committed, put his name on it.
If I could mention one more guy that I feel like we haven't mentioned yet, unless I missed it in the blur of names that they're moving the needle for, Titus Hawk. I mean, we obviously talked about Jackson Dollar heading to Georgia, so they gotta follow up with a different tight end. And as of this second, Titus Hawk remains uncommitted, and I feel like Notre Dame's in a pretty good spot there. I think Oklahoma State has been a threat, and they've been moving the needle behind the scenes. And Florida is absolutely in play. And this is a kid that might take official visits and move into May and June and slow his process down. But I think as it stands right now, if he were to make a decision, I do believe it would be Notre Dame, unless the Irish coaching staff behind the scenes are completely misreading this. They feel like this was like a game changer visit. So again, not great news at tight end when it comes to Jackson Dollar, but if you can end up landing Titus Hawk, a dual sport, multi-sport kid, very athletic, terrific baseball player as well. Like he's a guy that moves the needle, at least when I'm watching him on tape.
And one more, I guess I'll mention from last week, because you mentioned Abraham Cisse, who I had a chance to talk to, Tom. I also had a chance to talk to Miles McAfee, who visited right at the end of the week. 4-star receiver out of Maryland. Coming into the trip, he was interested in Notre Dame, but I think he was kind of like an outsider interested, right? Like, oh, I know guys there, but I haven't been. I really want to kind of see it for myself, get a handle on what it's like there. Good friends with Kerry Adams and Joey O'Brien. They leveraged that relationship while he was on campus, has strong relationships with several Notre Dame staffers, including DJ Bryant from when he was at Penn State. So there was a lot of familiarity that Notre Dame really presented and made sure to put first and foremost at that trip to create that initial impression point. And then from there, everything kind of fell into place. He talked about how they gave him a good expectation of what to expect, going through meetings and conversations the next day. And leaving it, he felt like he saw a fit at Notre Dame. He saw Notre Dame as definitely a competitor in his race. And look, there's still some other interested parties. I know Virginia Tech's making a big swing, he told me about. Maryland's making a big swing. Like, there's some other schools that have official visits planned and things. But he planned that Notre Dame official visit for June 12th, right off of this trip. And Notre Dame, if they really push for this one, I wouldn't be surprised if they're serious contenders. I don't know if they're, out and out the favorites right now coming out of this trip, but they definitely made a move to contender status, and I don't think they were coming into the trip.
I'm going to play one more get the game of one more. I just saw at a camp this weekend, Ifeanyi Imadobe, that I had not been able to see him in person. He's there in Fort Wayne. I'm in Nashville. I think Notre Dame needs to get this kid because his upside, I don't think he really knows how to properly play the position. And I promise, like, I would tell him that to his face. I don't mean it as a slight. That kid has really no idea what he's doing, I don't think. And he is going to be a really, really good edge rusher. He is such a natural, fluid, smooth mover. I was at the Rivals camp on Sunday, and he was just doing things to guys that are ranked much higher than he is. And you see it. Like, you can just tell that the talent is there behind the scenes. Like, it's just like waiting to come out. He's going to need to get coached up. But man, he is quick. He's twitchy. He doesn't have this great, like Kellen Hall, the 2028, the top 100 freak show. Like, if he's not a five star when all is said and done, like, I'm gonna be pretty surprised because I love that kid and I think he's a tremendous talent. Like, he's not even Imadobe's not even close to that kid yet. But which is funny because he's a whole year ahead. I just think he is so raw. But man, the upside there, like, he's a guy you want in your system, and then in about 2 years, 3 years, like, you reap the benefits because he just becomes this absolute terror off the edge. So, and for whatever it's worth, I still like Notre Dame. As long as they push for him, I'd be shocked if he goes anywhere else.
Awesome.
That's the perfect kind of guy to pair with Dunham and Jackson Vaughn,
I'm
right?
saying. That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Yeah. And Jackson Vaughn, I feel like I've been to at least the last three Irish invasions, and he might be my favorite prospect I've seen there. I don't think he lost a rep last year as a,
No.
I guess, just after his freshman year of high school. So, impressive
His
prospect there.
ranking, were you surprised how low he was ranked? And on I forget what other site ranked him really low, but once he reclassified, he plummeted, I think, in the 500s nationally. Unless I was like sent a screenshot that wasn't accurate.
Oh, wow.
I was shocked. So your
That's
favorite
shocking.
player, yeah, I was shocked when I saw that because I think Jackson Vaughn, like, no, is he a sure fire first round pick down the road? Like, I don't think he's there yet, but man, I was surprised at that one.
He was so
So,
competitive too. Like, he just wanted to get back in the line and go and go and go. And I was
I
like,
love that about
I
him.
just, yeah, I was like, who is this kid? It did. I don't know a lot of the kids when I go into it. And he was one I was like, I need to find out who this kid is immediately. And I've been following him since. So, be a good one to track him. But before we get out of here, we had some breaking news this morning. Aiden O'Neill from Don Bosco Prep in New Jersey. He's the number 20 or the number 73 overall prospect and number 9 edge rusher in the class of 2027, committed to Notre Dame. Tom Loy, I know you were right on top of this. Can you talk a little bit about him and how Notre Dame got this one done?
Really nice win because it was back and forth a little bit between, I think, Kentucky, Penn State, and Notre Dame. And look, we thought at one point Kentucky was just going to kind of get this one done because of the Notre Dame board. When you look at a bunch of the guys that we've already mentioned, I just simply didn't know if there was going to be room for Aiden O'Neill in this class. And yes, that's kind of crazy to say about it, the number 73 overall player in the country, but that's kind of how I feel with Texas A&M and offensive line recruiting. Like, at some point, you're going to have to say no to a really good prospect. And I kind of expected that with Notre Dame, but in the end, they got it done. And this kid is a low maintenance, keeps to himself, You're going to kind of see that when it comes to the announcement and everything like that. Like you're that's what you saw. I love the blue collar mentality. The kid just wants to play football and work and just go about his business, and really fires me up that he made a decision early, because he's just it's just it's a nice change of pace. These guys want to push these decisions out and play the games and this and that. And you know what? He said, I made a decision right after I made a commitment right after I made the decision. I didn't run it out any longer. I didn't want to play games with Kentucky and Penn State and other schools. So good for him for finding his home, and good for Notre Dame for getting it done, because that is another huge addition to what I believe long term is going to be a loaded defensive line class in 2027.
Yeah,
Awesome.
I just honestly, the only thing I'll add is he only visited Notre Dame one time before making the commitment. So hats off to Charlie Partridge and company. Obviously, first cycle here taking over the unit. That's a pretty signature win. Have a top 100 player come visit once and lock him down when you probably weren't the favorite. Pretty impressive.
Absolutely. And that's all for this edition of Irish Illustrated's Tracking the Trail podcast. Thank you for everyone who tuned in. Eric and Tom, once again, I really appreciate you hopping on to provide the latest scoop on Notre Dame recruiting. We'll be back next week with two new episodes of the Irish Illustrated Insider podcast on Monday and Thursday. I'm Drew Mentock with Irish Illustrated, with Eric Thomas, also of Irish Illustrated, and Tom Loy of 24/7 Sports. We'll see you all again soon.